Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kekatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
We want to start off this week's episode by congratulating our guest of the week, Ilana Dunn, who recently got engaged. Ilana, we're so happy for you. We literally cannot wait to see you on your big day and all of the amazing bridal content you'll have coming up. As many of you know, Ilana Dunn loves the Jonas Brothers, just like us, and recently got to interview them. So we wanted to make this week's cocktail a little extra special and one that tied into this week's guest. And according to Delish.com, Joe Jonas partnered with Tanqueray to launch his own gin-based cocktail appropriately named the Cup of Joe. It pairs Tanqueray London dry gin with coffee liqueur, cold brew concentrate, and tonic for a boozy drink with plenty of caffeine. Perfect cocktail to really start our Monday morning. To make the Cup of Joe, you'll need 1 ounce of Tanqueray London dry gin, half an ounce of coffee liqueur, 2 ounces of cold brew concentrate, tonic water to top, and mint bouquet to garnish. You'll combine all of the ingredients except tonic water into a shaker over ice and shake well for 5 seconds. Strain into an ice-filled highball glass, top with tonic water, and garnish with mint. So grab your cup of Joe and let's dive into this week's episode.
Cheers and welcome back to another episode of our revisit season. Today, we have a very special podcasting guest back on the show, our good friend, Ilana Dunn. Ilana Dunn joined us in January of 2022, so about over a year ago, to discuss her podcast, Seeing Other People. And if you don't know, or we haven't mentioned it, I did mention it before we started recording. She's always been podcast inspo for us. And since we first talked to her, her podcast has grown immensely. She has amazing video content. She's all over my feed. She's awesome. She has the like goal podcast voice. I don't know what it is about her. You're going to hear it in a second. But we're just so excited to have her back because she's a podcast queen. Ilana, welcome back to Sip With Me.
Welcome. Flattered is like an understatement right now. I don't know who you were talking about just now, but it wasn't me. It couldn't have been. But thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be back. And it's so crazy that we talked last January. I feel like, first of all, I feel like that was yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
Second of all, I always have like looked to you guys as podcast goals. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God, no.
Me. But third of all, I feel like all of our lives have changed so much since we last spoke.
Yeah. Yes.
They have. It's been, like you said, it's been a year and it's felt like a nanosecond, but then at the same time, it feels
but also like 10 years.
Yeah. Years of life have happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, you really have been blowing up and you were already blowing up when we talked to you, which is how we found you. But I feel like you've really been blowing up over the last year. And again, you are always top of my feed and you talk to amazing people and your content is so fun and you're in New York and it's amazing and it's all vibes.
Yeah.
But in your own words, tell us, what have you been up to in the last year? Where are you at? Where are Seeing Other People at? Just give us all the updates.
So this time last year, I was very much still freelancing and working a bunch of jobs to pay the bills while trying to grow Seeing Other People with the goal of the podcast becoming my full-time thing. And I did actually make that transition last August of 2022, which was really, really exciting. And at the same time, it was really scary because I was kind of battling this issue of like, well, my freelance work is taking up all of my creative energy and my time. So I actually don't have the time that I need to spend on the podcast in order to get it to that next level where it would be able to, you know, pay my bills and do all the things that I want it to do. But in order to make that jump, I really have to take a risk of knowing I'm going to have a few months in between where I'm not making that much money.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really scary, but I'm going to have to remember, like, you're doing this for a reason. You believe in yourself. Like you, think this is going to work out, and really just give it my all. And so I hesitated on doing that for a while because it was really scary. Yeah. But I waited until I got to a point where I was just so hungry to be doing more and spending more time on the podcast and the content and really getting to like be all in on it. And so I did take that leap of faith, and I made no money at first. But then it's so funny. Like, I look at like my finances from last year, and it's literally, it was like up, and then it just went plummeted to the bottom of the chart. And then slowly over the next like 4 months, it went back up to where I was before. So all that to say, I went full time, and it's definitely paid off, and it's been really rewarding. And it definitely still comes with its challenges and ups and downs and good days and bad, but I'm really proud of myself, and I couldn't be happier. I love what I do.
Amazing. See, I knew you were always goals, but that I resonate so deeply with that, because I work a full-time job, and Sip With Me has always been like a side thing, which is like, you don't want it to be a side thing because it's your baby. And like,
you want to
put out like great content, and like, you want all your edits to be really good, and you want to like be able to like engage and like really put yourself all in it. But when you have even one other thing going on that's taking your energy, the creative energy you have left and the time at the end of the day is like not there. And it's so interesting because, like you would think, okay, like I'm going to work or I'm going to freelance, and then I'm going to do it after, I'm going to do it before, and it's going to be fine. And then it's not. And you're like, something's off balance here. So I definitely resonate deeply with that. And like, good for you for making it work and taking the leap. And that's exciting.
Thank you.
And I have noticed, like, I would say in the back half of last year and then this year especially, like your content is different. There's more of it. The videos are amazing. Like everything's just like, it has that like it factor where you're like, this is what I wanted from my podcast and from all my socials. So
I'm like gonna get emotional in this conversation because it's so hard in the moment to be like, look at how far I've come, and I did this, and there'll be days where I'm like, oh, like I have no ideas. Like, what am I doing? Should I literally said to my boyfriend the other day, I was like, should I like consider at some point getting a full-time job again? And I'm like, no, like I worked so hard to be doing this. Yeah. And it really has like fallen into place, but it's still, there are so many challenges that come with it. And there's no perfect job or perfect situation. There really isn't.
Yeah, I feel that. What has happened for the podcast over the last year? How has it changed and evolved, and kind of where's the show at specifically?
So I've gotten more comfortable with just having conversations when it comes to the interviews, instead of like really planning out like, here are all these questions I want to ask and this specific topic we need to talk about. I think it ends up paying off to just have an organic conversation with a human, whether it's an expert, whether it's an influencer or some form of a celebrity or just a friend. It's so funny because I will spend, and I spend so much time like sending out pitches, trying to get these people with like hundreds of thousands of followers on my podcast. But when I have my friends on, who are nobodies, they're just normal people and my friends, those episodes do so much better. And I'm like, wait a second. It's crazy. Like,
thank you. That's literally, we've had people, I think our like top person had like 3 or 4 million followers. And like that episode, like, it didn't really do well. And then we have people that have 15,000 followers and do something really niche or really, really cool. And that'll be like a top 100 episode. And we're just like,
it's crazy.
We are. God, Ioana. Oh, we had an episode this last year. It was called Highest Highs and Lowest Lows.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We had a rough year personally. And we were just like being like, oh yeah, we've had all this trauma and death in the family and losing jobs.
And that's
what,
that's relatable.
It did so well. It did so well.
We're like, should we talk about this more?
People just want to hear other people being real. Yeah. And so I've taken a lot of pressure off myself to like always have like the coolest guest or the biggest star. And I'm leaning into just like having a few of my friends like repeatedly on multiple times, because then other people get to know them. They're like pseudo occasional co-hosts, and it's fun and it's easy. So I've taken a lot of pressure off myself in terms of like having the perfect people or the perfect outlined interview. The podcast itself, I just signed with a podcast network, which
I saw that. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's definitely something that was like on my ultimate goal list for the podcast. And I went with a network that it's called Podcast Nation. And I felt mm-hmm. so comfortable and aligned with them. And there are so many people on their roster that I have looked up to and really admire and respect. And it just came about so organically. And I'm really, really excited that we're officially starting on April 1st. So I just can't wait.
Yeah, so yeah. Cool. Oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
So you kind of talked about the layout of the podcast. I've seen a lot of different guests on the podcast. So kind of take us through some of the recent guests you've had. I know you've mentioned like friends, but also bringing some experts on. So talk us through who you've had on recently.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm literally pulling it up.
Honestly, brain, we forget.
Who's in the feed?
My brain goes in a million directions. Yeah. Oh my God. And I also did this thing where I stopped putting the guest name in the title. So this is going to be even harder for me. I had a really, really great episode come out recently with Sabrina Bendori. She is the author of a new book called You're Overthinking It. She is a relationship expert and she's someone I found on social media just from her video content. And her book, it's like, the only way to describe it is it's a very practical, realistic guide to like chilling the fuck out in dating.
And I need this.
Needs to read it. I loved it. And we just had such a great conversation about overthinking and anxiety in dating. And it was just, it was so organic and felt so good to do. And I want like every single person to listen to it because I think it'll put a lot in perspective. So that was one that I loved. I had a old friend from college. We met each other like in the beginning of freshman year. We were in classes together. His name's Orly Israel, and he started this thing called Orly's Listening Table, where he goes around Los Angeles and sets up a plastic folding table and has signs that says here to listen, like need to vent, like no judgment, no cost. And every different type of person, like anywhere from like homeless people to, you know, like people like us to like people in their 80s, like everybody will just come and sit down and open up and just talk because they want somebody to listen. And it's almost like the social experiment that he accidentally started because he wanted to learn how to be a better listener. And he ended up starting to like record the conversations and he'll do it anonymously, but he posts them on social media. He now has like 100,000 followers and he is just so insightful and wise. And it's so incredible to hear what other people are struggling with and self-conscious about and afraid of and proud of. It's like the coolest human social experiment I've ever witnessed. So it was really great to talk to him about that.
I feel like especially post COVID, stuff that's authentic and vulnerable does really well. And people like just want, people have removed the like fake, people don't want that. People don't want like, people can tell too. People can really read authenticity, I think a lot more than before the pandemic. So
yeah, absolutely. One other episode that I had, actually two more that I'll note. I love doing episodes with therapists and they don't have to be like influencer therapists, just normal therapists. And sometimes we'll talk about like Q&A, like anxiety, dating with whatever's going on, whatever they're seeing with their clients and their patients. But I recently had a therapist, Hillary Weinstein. I'd previously had her on the podcast to do one of those like kind of generic interview episodes. And she emailed me a few months ago saying, hey, I have some personal updates and I've been thinking a lot about wanting to kind of open up somewhere. And I thought that like maybe your podcast would be the perfect place to do it. I got engaged at the same time that my mom was being placed into hospice care after losing her battle to ovarian cancer. And it's this kind of dichotomy and internal conflict of like the most incredible moment in your life happening, this thing you've wanted your entire life, while the hardest thing you've ever had to go through is happening and like literally like losing her mom. And it was about that, but it was more about social media and how we can't believe what we see on social media. And, you know, the number of times that she saw other people getting engaged and thought like, oh, that's all I want. Like when that happens to me, like that'll be like everything and I'll be happy. And, you know, then it happens. And guess what? It's like the least important thing in her life because something so much heavier is happening and so much more important. And so it was a really interesting conversation about social media and just how we put so much weight on comparing ourselves to others and our timeline. And you really have no idea what is going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So that was a really special episode. And then one other thing that I do with my episodes, I have my listeners come on anonymously to share what they've been through and how it's impacted them. And I had somebody write in, the subject line was, I dated a Nazi. And I've never responded to an email faster in my life. And so this woman came on to talk about how she started dating somebody and they became official. And he opened up and said, I have these beliefs that are really not widely accepted. And, she went on to learn that like his family doesn't speak to him because of it. And it was a really difficult situation for her because she, without knowing this, had already like fallen for him. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly he's like begging her to come to his nationalist chapter Christmas party. And she gets convinced and goes, and they're Hail Hitlering there.
She can't open up
to her friends about it because, you know, she has friends who are who those people think should not exist.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a hard episode for me to get through as a host. It was one that definitely challenged me because there were so many times where I wanted to insert my opinion or ask like, how could you continue mm-hmm. to date this person? Yeah. But it's not my story. And I really am a believer that like everyone has a story to share. And I created this platform in part to allow others to share their stories. And so it was a really fascinating experience. That was definitely not an episode I ever planned to have, but I really applaud this person for being open to sharing her experience.
My God. Wow. See, like, look at all those, like, the mega corners of, like, the depths of humanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I really like your show. You really, like, you hit the notes right and like get deep and real about a topic that is applicable to everybody.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from your show. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's crazy.
A lot.
Yeah. I know. It's like hard to like just move on from that.
Are they still together? Is that like,
okay. They are no longer together.
Okay. Good.
It was interesting though, getting feedback from listeners about that episode. You know, a lot of people reached out and said they like couldn't get through it because they couldn't understand, like they couldn't handle her, and mm-hmm. how she like put up with it for so long. But at the same time, we're all human, and imagine falling in love with somebody and then finding this thing out about them.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a firm believer of like, there are good people who just end up in a bad crowd, mm-hmm. or there are good people who fall down a bad path, and that doesn't make them a bad person. But then it's also hard for me. I'm like, well, how can I not consider that a bad person in this case? So
yeah,
it's tough.
I feel that. Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. So deep. I love it. Right. I feel like we need to open up our podcast feed and it's not going to be that deep.
We have drama, Eric. Yeah. We have some drama. Yes.
So you mentioned your listeners chiming in and giving feedback and participating in the show. Talk a little bit about your show's community. How has it evolved or changed over the last year? How have they supported you? I think you had like, you did an event or a couple events in New York. So talk about those because that looked really cool.
Yeah. So in February, I threw two parties, which was my first time doing that. I did a Galentine's Day party followed by a fuck Valentine's Day party.
Oh my God.
In part, the reason I wanted to do that is because, well, first that was something I was really afraid to do. And I know that I need to like slowly but surely push myself out of my comfort zone and try these new things that I want to do, but I have these fears around. But I really want to do a Galentine's Day party first because so many of my listeners have come to me and said, like, I'm the only single one in the friend group, or I want to go out and, you know, meet people at a bar, but I don't have anyone to do it with. And I'm like, well, there are so many people who feel this way. Like, why can't we all hang out and be friends and then wing woman mm-hmm. the shit out of each other? So through a Galentine's Day party, And then it was so cool to see like people actually, like a lot of people came alone and ended up making friends that they then went to the Fuck Valentine's Day mixer with. And it's so funny because I was so anxious about these, like losing sleep. Like, what if nobody comes, or what if people come, yes, but then it sucks and they hate me. And it ended up going great. And I'm so glad I did it. It's definitely not something I feel like this is my calling. I want to throw all these parties and do this all the time, but I'm glad it, because now I know that I can do it if it ever, the opportunity ever arises again organically. I also last fall did something similar where I have a fear of public speaking, which a lot of people are very shocked to hear.
I did not know that.
Because I speak for a living, but it's very different talking to people, talking to friends, talking to podcast hosts on the computer versus getting up in front of a crowd and opening up. True. And so I wanted to push myself out of my comfort zone and challenge myself to do that. So I ended up doing a few different like speaker panels events, and I, to my surprise, oh my God, I loved it. I'm like, I want to do this all the time now. Like, this is amazing. And I would never have guessed that that's how I would have reacted to it. And I was so, so terrified, like pit in my stomach, like feeling like, oh my God, I can't get through this before. And then thank God I tried, you know, because now I know I can do that. And not only can I do it, but I like doing it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, you strike me as somebody that like needs to do a TED Talk.
Oh my God. About what though?
I mean, again, it's like your episodes, like there's so many directions that they've gone in, but like, I feel like I'm in relationships and dating, let's start there. And trends in the future, like you are like, you talk to people on the ground and like, that's where you learn the most about life. And
it's so funny because like, you're like, oh, like you should do a TED Talk. And I'm like, but I'm not the type of person who would do a TED Talk. Like, those people are like 10 levels like above me, or like ahead of me. Like, there's so much imposter syndrome in this world that we operate in. I'm like, who am I to even think about giving a TED
that's
Talk?
That's all we talk about.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we talk about. It's hard because and again, like it's, we basically live and operate and work on social media. So all you have to do is compare yourselves against everything else that's in your feed. And then from there, it's just a rabbit hole of like self-doubt and self-destruction. When really like what you're doing is unique and people resonate with it and like it's really cool. But it's a constant struggle for sure.
I have a question. So I recently got married in July. So it's not recent, but it's like it's somewhat recent.
In the grand scheme of life.
Yeah. It still feels recent. So you've like been able to talk to so many different people, experts, regular people. Do you have any advice for newlywed couples? This is like a very selfish question because I need advice.
Communication, 1000%, no matter what it is. You know, obviously getting married, it's this big thing. It's this huge thing. Yeah. But at the same time, most of the married couples I talked to said that after they get married, they're like, oh, well, like, I don't feel different now. Like, nothing's changed. But guess what? One of you might be thinking that, or you both might be thinking that and internalizing that and feeling anxious about it, but then not communicating it to the other, when in reality, you both feel like that. There's absolutely nothing wrong. I also think it, you know, you've just gotten through this big life accomplishment or milestone. Maybe one of you is thinking about having kids, but the other isn't. Or one of you, you know, like you have to be talking about this and talking about like what feels right for you when. And it really all goes back to communication, because otherwise you're going to have all these thoughts in your head. They're going to have all these thoughts in their head. Maybe they're the same. Maybe they're completely different. But unless you're openly discussing them, then you're never going to know. You're never going to be able to talk through things. And I think one thing that's really, really impactful is to have a relationship check-in. And it could be every Sunday or it could be once a month. And to just say like, how are you feeling? Like, is there any thing on your mind that you've wanted to talk about? Is there any way I can be showing up for you, supporting you better? Is there any way this past month or week where like I didn't show up for you in the way you needed? And just to have that moment to check in and align and, you know, make sure that there's nothing going left unsaid, because, you know, as you get into routines, it can be really hard to actually have time for those like intimate moments of let's talk about us and this relationship. So
That's so true.
That's what I'll be doing this weekend. Like the entire week. I feel like we never talk.
I mean, yeah, it's hard because like when you get in routine and you're go, go, go. Like my fiance, like I see him during the week, I see him like by the time I get home, most nights he's sleeping. Yeah. And then it's like you maybe send a few texts during the day, but for the time for you to be like open and honest and vulnerable and say if you have needs, if you are even brave enough to say them or feel like validated enough in it to communicate it, it's hard. And that's something he always vouched for is building in time, like a set time where even maybe a week you don't need it, that it's there and it's expected that it's there for both of you. So you feel like you do have a space.
Yeah.
And I like what you said about even a week where you don't think you need it. It's like therapy, you know, there'll be times where you know, you have therapy coming and you're like, oh, but I have nothing to talk about. And those are likely going to be the best therapy sessions because you end up talking about something that's like deep inside that like isn't really at the surface that you think you desperately need to talk about, or this like thing that's been on your mind or currently stressing you out. And you can actually like dig deeper and talk about something that is probably even more important than like the little things that are bothering you on a day-to-day basis.
That is so true. The couples therapy sessions we've had that were most fruitful were the ones where I was like, let's just cancel. We don't have anything to talk about. Like, everything's fine. And then actually within 3 minutes, you're like, oh yeah,
we have
there's this thing that's been on my mind every night when I go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also think like couples therapy is something that like people still don't really talk about that much. Like we both of us have been in couples therapy with our significant others, like pretty much from the start of our relationship. And I feel like it's so helpful to have a third party who can look at the situation and kind of give you a different perspective. Cause like, I feel like me and my husband fight about the same thing over and over again. And poor Aaron has to hear about it. And I'm like, he's our therapist. But it's nice to have an outside perspective to learn to communicate better. Cause I think that's really
absolutely important. And that's exactly the purpose. Like so many people think of, oh, couples therapy is only for when there's a huge problem. Like, no, it's this incredible, incredible tool that you can access for the most part, if you're able to afford it and whatnot, and both partners are willing to go and whatnot, that can just help you learn to communicate better with your partner. And that is the best possible thing that you can do if you are trying to build a lifelong relationship and foundation with this other person, is learn how to communicate. And sometimes, it's not like you can just take a class and pass and then you're all set. Having that other person there is so, so helpful in having these conversations and hearing each other and being able to approach situations from a different point of view. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wish, and I feel like we are moving towards normalizing it more, but it's we're still not there.
Yes, exactly.
We're not totally there.
Yeah. Well, it's like stigmatized. Like you see couples therapy in a movie and it's like, oh, like when the wife came home and like found the husband cheating and then they cut to a shot where they're on a couch and it's awkward and one of them's crying. And like,
it's like, well, he did this. Yeah. Well, she wasn't doing that. Yeah.
And like, no, it can actually be a proactive tool to keep you healthy and keep you communicating so that you don't ever get to that point.
Yeah. And I think there people feel hesitant to do it because they feel like shame around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why would there be shame around being the best partner you can and building that those skills and wanting to make this work forever? Like why is there shame around that? There shouldn't be. It's a beautiful thing that we have access to.
Yeah. I feel that. We should get a hashtag trending. I'm in couples therapy.
There's a show. There's a show called Couples Therapy. It's so good. I watch it with my husband all the time.
Oh my God, I need to watch.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it looks at four or five couples at a time and you get like an inside look at their therapy sessions over the span of like 6 to 7 weeks. And it's really interesting. It's really helpful to look at your own relationship and kind of see how other couples deal with things. So it makes me feel like, everyone deals with problems in their relationship. So,
and of course you do. These are two separate people, separate lives, separate everything, joint, of course. And I hate that people expect everything to be perfect because that is not reality.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. No.
What streaming service is Couples Therapy on? Because I need to go watch.
I'm actually going to check because it's on Showtime.
Showtime?
Oh, yes. That's very fabulous. Showtime.
I think there are like 3 seasons. It's the same therapist. She's amazing. I've reached out to her to come on the podcast. She hasn't responded, but she's really good. Or I would even get in for a therapy session with her. That would be amazing because she's really good.
Love that.
Love it. Cool. Okay, so last question. A quarter of the way through a new year. We're in March already, but a lot's happened for you in the last year. What else is coming up? Any projects, things you're working on, anything that you are excited about?
It's so funny because people ask me this all the time, and I never have this like thing that I'm working on. I'm just, or like big
Same.
thing announcement coming. I'm just like, just vibing, just continuing like putting out 2 episodes a week and hoping to have amazing conversations and find new ways to connect with the Seeing Other People community and get the show out to more people. And that's really just always the consistent goal and what I'm working towards.
I love it. And
Yeah.
you can get more lights. I love that light
I
behind
know,
you.
it's so cute.
Oh my God, thank you. It's so funny because I debated for months, like, should I get Seeing Other People? Oh, that's like a lot of letters. It's really big. Like, and I love the eyes, and I'm
Oh,
so
I
glad I
love
went with it.
it. I know. I love it. Sweet. Okay, well, tell everyone where they can follow you online and how they can listen to your podcast and engage with your show.
Yes. First of all, thank you guys so much for having me back. It's such a blast.
Of
And
course.
like, love you both so much. You can
Stop.
listen to Seeing Other People wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can follow on Instagram at Seeing Other People and on TikTok at Alana Dunn.
Yay. Oh my God. I feel that was, we always say we get therapy from filming the
Yeah.
show, but
That
that was
was
definitely,
actual therapy.
yeah, that was, I feel like I want to go home and like see my fiance and like have a deep conversation
My God.
and listen to the show with
I was
him.
gonna say I love the check-in thing because I feel like we only do it in therapy, so I think that's a great idea. I'm actually gonna take that and do that.
And it seems hard, but it's really not.
Yeah.
Like all you have to do is just put it out there, like, oh, let's do this once a week, once a month, and then put it on your calendar if you got like
Yep.
whatever. Just
Yeah.
do it.
It becomes
And it can
routine.
even be like while you're at dinner, but with an agenda of like we're gonna talk about these things.
I love
Love it.
it. Yay. Cool. Well, thank you
Thank
again.
you.
And we will hit you up when we are in New York.
Please
Or
do. Would
let
love
us know
that.
when your next party is,
Yeah.
because it looks like a bomb and we will be
None
there.
are coming soon, but I will report back if they are.
Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram @sipwithme_.